Hello guys, this is Clint Locklear with another rant of a trapper. And not really sure this is a rant per se. I've seen some rants here lately. One was from Meat Trapper. I don't know if he put that one up online, but good lordy, that was a rant. But you know, I've been doing this series on YouTube just because I think it's always good to have some practical and logical and critical thinking when you're looking at a subject. And it's about survival trapping and snaring, mostly mental masturbation for the simple fact that it's fantasy. And I did one that I put up last night where it was about not forgetting the face of your fathers. And I went into a lot the difference between ancient cultures and what we do today, like using yeast and bread, which we all think is just the way it is. And, you know, from the Aborigines in Australia to Moroccans with pistachio nuts where they soaked them, to Irish, Germans, and even the Cherokee Indians, the way they made bread. They soaked, they sprouted, they fermented, they made them more nutrient dense. Now, the subject matter that I was talking about was how, if you're going to survive, what do you think you might need to know? And that's just one of the small things out of a 7-part series that I've been doing. I've got a couple more I'm going to do and close it up. But I get a thing on one of the comments on YouTube where the guy said, you know, this is almost like watching a vegan channel where you're talking about diet. Well, if you're talking about survival and trapping and food, it is about diet. I mean, if you can double and triple and sometimes quadruple the nutrition because you sprout seeds instead of eat them raw just as you found them, that's pretty important, I would say, in a survival situation. But that's not really what I want to talk about. And before I want to do some a little background for you. You know, I grew up the normal redneck American. Loved hot rods, played sports, ate pizza, hamburgers, McDonald's, great big country breakfast. That's the way I grew up, and that's the way most of us probably listening to this show have grown up. That's just the way it was. You know, when you're, 265 pounds as a junior in high school and you go out with your buddies, I mean, it wasn't nothing to throw down a pizza and a half to two pizzas, you know, with a bunch of Coke and stuff like that. Well, that's just the way it was. You know, and then as you grow older, you start thinking about different things. Now, the what I want to talk about, more of the rant I want to talk about is there, you know, I'm not the smallest guy in the world. I agree that. For the last couple of years, up until about 2 months ago, I had a bad habit where I love the hippie ice cream. Ben and Jerry's. There's a New York chocolate super funk or something like that, and then there's one with Cherry Garcia, which is cherries and chocolate chip. I was in a habit, guys, for probably 2 years, 5 nights a week, I'd eat a pint of that stuff. And when you look at the calories and the sugar and all that stuff in there, plus, you know, we go to conventions, we're eating all kind of crazy stuff at the show because we get hungry. And, you know, I just kept adding weight and adding weight and adding weight. And then, you know, I'm looking around, I feel like crap. You know, joints hurt, muscles hurt, your brain gets cloudy, you get tired a lot, you know, you're looking for a nap in the middle of the day and all that. Everybody here listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's the standard American diet, which a lot of people call the sad diet, and it really is. So I want to tell a few things to y'all today, I'm going to try not to get too excited because this is something I've been interested with a long, long time. Now, years ago, while I was getting the trapping up and going, one of the things that I used to do was paint. And I'd go to art shows because I could make a couple of grand on a weekend, and I could, you know, 3-4 hours a day, I'd sit in my underwear and flip-flops and watch the History Channel when it used to really be the History Channel instead of the reality show channel that it is today. And I'd be watching stuff about the Civil War, and I'd be painting. And I didn't paint in a style that most of y'all would be recognized. It was more like Monet or Van Gogh. Very bright, very loose, very fast, because it was a business to me. You know, I wasn't like, you know, neck deep into wanting to be an artist. It was just a easy way. The painting was easy for me. So I could make money. Well, one of the shows was up in Abington, Virginia, and this had to have been about 20 years ago. And I went up, and because of the Nationals at the time, I would go for the first 10 days. Cindy'd have to do the last 5 days by herself. I'd rush back down wherever the Nationals was, help her take down the tent. This was a long show, big money, you know, especially for us at that time. Well, there's a little bookstore across the street, and I went over there. And, you know, just like everybody else, you get fatter and you get lighter and you get unhealthier, then you feel better, then you do this. So all I can figure is that I was not feeling very good or I was very bored. I don't know what it is, but I picked up a book that I have not been able to find since. And it was by a gentleman named Weston A. Price. And you've heard me talk about him. He's got a foundation now that is got phenomenal stuff online that you can look up. I didn't know who he was, but it was something about indigenous people's diets. I'm going to be there for basically 10 days during the middle of the day. You know, you're just trying to stay awake. It's hot. So I bought that and a couple other books. And I remember reading that book, and it started in a very unusual way because it was just interesting, and then all of a sudden it became more than interesting. And what this book was, or it could be a Traditional Diets of Indigenous People, I think. I'm not sure. It was paperback when I had it. And this dentist was going all around the world, and he started seeing all these cultures that had no teeth problems, no health problems, no degenerative diseases, didn't know what cancer was, and all this stuff. And it seems, I mean, you think about today, you know, every week there's a new superberry they find somewhere in Australia or South America or something like that, you know. We've been beat up on that stuff so much that you blow it off. But what was weird is he would go to, like, in the Swiss Alps, and he would go to Africa and all these places. He's doing missionary work to help do people's teeth, and it started him down this road. And anyway, what it basically came down to is there wasn't a single system that everybody was doing. There was some correlations that seemed like they made a difference. And he was just exposing what he found out, and then he kind of gave what he thought he learned from it. And I remember that's 20-something years ago. And that really sparked an interest. But with my heritage and the way that we eat, you know, guys eat, I'd eat a little bit better for a while, then I'd go back the way that I was doing. I'd eat a little bit better a while, then I'd go back the way that I was doing. Well, my mother, which was also an artist, was part of the reason I did the shows, because it was a cool way to spend a weekend or a week with my mom and have people pay for it by buying art. She got cancer, breast cancer, and she had to skip shows for a while, and it went into remission, and then she came back to the shows. We thought everything was okay, and then she got it again, but it came back with a bigger vengeance. Now, this is your mom. With our background, she grew up, you know, when you eat pork chops, you damn near eat the bones. And, you know, you definitely eat all the fat. And, you know, it was cornbread and biscuits. And my mom was not a very good cook, but she cooked the traditional type stuff. It's just taken me till about a year ago that I would even eat roast, because she cooked it every Sunday and it sucked. It was bad. I mean, you could kill somebody with it if you threw it out of a one-story window and hit somebody. It was bad. But, you know, we were, you know, in the junk food. We was on the road a lot. We're eating a lot of junk food. Anyway, it comes back. Now, it comes back stronger, which I've learned is kind of how that works. And she starts going downhill really, really quick. Well, somebody at church gave her a book, and it was, and I don't know if I've got the name of the book. I don't have the book, but I read it like three times over a course of a week, just because what I'm going to tell you was blowing me away. And it was like God's Way of Diet. I don't know if it's a Seventh-day Adventist thing or whatever, but the basic premise of it was you cut out all processed foods for a while. You don't eat any meats whatsoever, and you juice like a banshee. So I'm talking carrot juice with, you know, celery and beets and all this, and you juice like four or five times a day. You're probably drinking a gallon of this concentrated, no fiber juice, and you try to get the best quality stuff. Well, my mom was in bed, and we thought it was over. She started doing this juicing thing, guys, and then within about 3 or 4 weeks later, She's up moving around the house. And a month and a half later, she's back at shows helping put up the tents and all that. And that's not an easy thing. I mean, that's hard labor. Her paintings were watercolor, so she had to have glass. Everything was heavy. She was in there just with everybody else, and I mean, it was amazing. And the only thing that she could attribute it to was this diet of the really high quality concentrated food. And I was blown away. I didn't believe it. I'll be honest with you. I thought it was a hoax when she told it to me. I could not conceive that would have anything to do with her being putting her cancer, which they didn't think they could put back in remission. And she was up walking around, driving around, doing shows, doing everything she wanted to do. She was like a much healthier person than she was before the cancer. And this is my mom that I love very much, that I'm seeing this with. So I start looking into the diet thing. Now, about 5 or 6 years before this is when I found that Weston A. Price book. Then this happens with my mom, and I can see it with my own eyes. Totally different person. Now, see, here's where the human nature will get you every time. Mom started going back to what she was grown up with. Fried chicken, chicken and gravy, meatloaf, all this type stuff. Boxed macaroni and cheese, boxed potatoes, all of this. My mother, guys, passed away within 45 days of her going back to her other diet. Whatever that was that fed that cancer, when it got it back, it went on a rampage in my mom. And that really shook me to the core. I'll be honest with you. Because I could see the transformation, and then I could see going back to the old way and what happened to my mom. And that's when I read this book 3 or 4 times. So about 15 years ago, I started doing the juicing thing. I bought this great big juicer. Cindy hated it because, you know, you start mixing beets around a countertop, it looks like a slaughterhouse after about a week. You can't get the stuff up. There were some issues with that. But I'm drinking probably a quart to a half gallon of beet juice a day. I felt a lot better. I'm still eating all the other crap that I was eating, but I could tell somehow that made a difference. Now, back in this time, and if you don't know me well enough to know that I am, besides, you know, really getting into the trapping thing, I'm a plant geek. I grow all kind of stuff. I enjoy growing stuff. And it's been that way for a long time. And I was running a truck garden from the property behind my house, and I was growing all organic, all that stuff. And I had unlimited amounts of vegetables. And this is about the time that the raw diet came out and started becoming popular. Now, this raw diet is kind of a crazy thing. They didn't like the juices, and they have all these reasons. And any type of diet you look at has got all the reasons why it works and why everybody else is gonna, you know, blow up and just die. And, you know, so I read like five. I'm a very curious person. I ordered like 5 or 6 of these books. I read them. Some of them were nutcases. Some of them made a lot of sense. I've got all this produce. So for 3 months or 4 months out of my life, I ate a complete raw diet. I didn't eat meat. I didn't eat dairy. I didn't eat cheese. I didn't eat anything. Now, I ate all kind of lettuce, tomatoes, squash, corn, everything. I ate it raw, you know, raw. And now lunch, to do this, this is part of the reason I think the survival foragers are kind of nuts, is for me to eat lunch, it was damn near 3 to 4 gallons of produce. It'd take me 2 hours to eat it, going off the recommendations of this. You go to the bathroom 6 times a day. I started losing weight. I started feeling better. All this type stuff. Now, one thing that was really amazing to me in this diet was I could not get sunburnt. I could be out in the field all day, tons of energy, and I couldn't get sunburned. I mean, I could have been a nudist, and my little wiener would have never got sunburned on it. So that's one thing that was amazing. I lost a lot of weight. I think I got down to about 220 pounds, which to me is pretty lightweight. But one thing I started noticing that I did not like is I started physically getting weak. Stuff that used to not, I wouldn't think twice about picking up or moving or whatever, it was getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And I could see that something was going on where it, the muscles were not getting whatever they needed at the time, and I kind of get it. Now, another interesting thing about that raw food diet, and I want you to think about the gross amount of nutrition that was going in my body. I could not sleep for more than 4 hours a night. Not because I wake up being restless, I woke up like someone gave me a shot of speed. So the nutrition throughout my life has been kind of a weird journey, and I'm just being honest with you about it. But my habits and what I grew up liking is hard for me to get around with. So we're going to go forward to about 2 months ago. And I start really looking up some of the Weston A. Price stuff. I find a podcast where they talk about it a lot. I started listening to a podcast by Rob Wolf, which is a paleo type thing. You know, one day I don't primp. I don't get in front of the mirror, you know, whatever. Every then I'll see myself on video and going, damn, dude, you're getting big. You know, I didn't feel like I was any bigger than I was at 280, but it was obvious that I was. So I made the mistake about 2 months of weighing. 331 pounds. 331 pounds. Now, when I watch the NFL, or when I get forced to pretty much with my wife, because she's a sports nut, and I want to spend time with her, you know, they're talking about this monster offense or defensive lineman that's the biggest one on the team. He's 315 pounds. So my big butt is bigger than most of the biggest NFL linemen in the world. And it's not really helping me out. Now, during all this time, I've had diverticulitis, which has a lot to do with being over in Desert Storm, which I've come to find out. I've figured out a way by myself where I'm completely cured of that. Completely. Not with a doctor's help, mind you, but just by doing my own research. And then, you know, your joints are getting bad. You're popping all the time. I'm thinking about your heart pushing that up. And a little bit before that 2 months, the first time in my entire life, I could feel that I had high blood pressure. The doctor says, no, you really don't. It's just a little bit high, which is for your age and your size is still really low. But I could tell the difference. So that kind of set me down this course. So I read some of the stuff on paleo, and I went back to the Weston A. Price, you know, type stuff, and watched some different documentaries on Netflix and different things. But you know, since I understand marketing the way that I do, if there was a slant, I disengaged. If it was like a political or like a vegan thing or whatever, it just wasn't very real to me at the time. So about 2 months ago, guys, I decided, and when someone says that diet doesn't matter, I mean, Tim just talked about his thing in wheat. Wheat had a lot to do with aggravating what I was having with diverticulitis, which is a stomach issue from the chemicals that released over in Desert Storm. And I finally figured that out, you know. And so I got off the wheat. Now, I'd still eat hamburgers every now and then. If I'm up north, I'm definitely going to have some fried walleye and stuff like that. But I'm not eating the breads and all that stuff the way I used to. And I could tell if I did, I could get in trouble with the diverticulitis. So 2 months ago, I decided, for 20 freaking years, I've known this. Now, I want everybody out there listening to this. Guys, how long have you known what you're doing to your own body is killing you, but it's too cool to keep doing it, and you don't want to ever think that anything's ever going to happen to you? Normalcy bias is a nasty bitch that will beat you upside the head somewhere down the road, especially when it comes to your health. It really will. Now, me knowing all that I knew, all the intellectual understanding of diet, I read the book, I watched what happened with my wife, I went through the raw food diet, my thing. You know, when I get back on the Ben and Jerry's and, you know, hamburgers four times a week and eating pizza and all that, I ballooned up to 331 pounds, 47 years old, getting ready to be 48. Stuff's not working the way it's supposed to. So I kind of just look over at Cindy one day and said, I'm going to start eating clean. Well, that's nice, honey. That's nice. You know, but she didn't quite know what that meant. So for 2 months, I have been eating what I consider to be clean. Now, when I weighed yesterday, let me get my little handy-dandy calculator out, 331 minus 287, that's 44 pounds. Now, I've lost 44 pounds without being hungry, without being grouchy, with no body pains whatsoever. I'm not craving stuff at all. And I'm doing it in a way that if a standard doctor heard me say this, he would go epileptic. Now, when I've had conversations with doctors that want to talk about this, most of the time, within about a minute and a half into the conversation, they want to run out of the office. With our insurance, we have these health coaches, and that's part of the deal. They call you about once a quarter, harass the piss out of you, ask you all these questions. I found the easiest way to get them off the phone is start questioning what they're saying, and I would know more about it than they would because I had the intellectual studying of doing this. So what have I been doing? It's really simple. And if you're a meat eater and you like good vegetables and you like good food, it's pretty easy. Now, I drink normally, I will do bone broth for breakfast, a pint, with probably a quarter stick of butter on top of that just to get extra fat. I'm not hungry really when I eat at lunch. I'm just starting to barely feel hungry. If I don't eat that, I'll have a Yeti full of coffee that has 6 ounces to 8 ounces of pure whipping cream. How in the world can I lose weight eating butter, whipping cream, and bone broth? That's just breakfast. Lunch is, you know, the craziest lunch you've ever seen. It's 4 duck eggs, which are way more nutritional than chicken eggs, and a third of a pack of crispy, delicious bacon. So I want you to think what I'm eating there. If I'm on the road and I got to do breakfast and I can't get the whipping cream, I eat 3 or 4 handfuls of nuts. I'm not hungry. So that's my lunch. Or it could be hamburger patties with a bunch of cheese on there that we grill out, or sausage or something like that, normally with eggs, different things like that. But that's kind of what that is. Dinner, we eat steaks and sweet potatoes. We figured out different ways to eat butternut squash, which I would never really pay attention to because rednecks don't eat butternut squash, only hippies do. But, you know, we've started roasting Brussels sprouts and different things like that. But we're eating pork with pesto on it. And, I mean, we're eating like kings. And actually, the fat content that I'm taking and the vegetables that I'm eating are not processed. We're not eating box macaroni and cheese, which we used to buy by the case. I'm not eating spaghetti, which I absolutely adore. But I quit eating that. Now we're just eating these great big meatballs with the sauce, homemade sauce and real garlic and stuff like that, and put that maybe sometimes with rice, sometimes by itself, sometimes with quinoa. You know, we've found a Peruvian restaurant in Chattanooga that's really good food. We started mimicking what they're doing, using a lot of lentils, so we're eating that way. So it's not like I'm eating. And when we eat, I mean, there's always butter. We cook with lard, bacon grease, and coconut oil. So it's vegetables, it's most time coconut oil. If it's any type of beef, meat, there's going to be lard, lard, butter, or bacon grease that's the component of that. 44 pounds. With the bone broth, when I, you know, and still taking turmeric every now and then, I don't have the joint problems that I should at 47. I just don't. There's no way on this green earth that if you listen to any of the diet programs that you see, especially like the ones like Weight Watchers and all this, I mean, it's insanity of what they try to tell you to do. I've lost 44 pounds, not been hungry, not been grouchy, and the world is a much better place. I don't feel like I've done anything. Now, every now and then, once a week or so, I'll have a meal with family or whatever, and it won't be like this, and I can tell you that I feel different. But I want you to understand something about your diet. Now, when we go to a trapping convention and you look around, we're about as wide as we are tall. And that's the culture of what most trappers come from. Everybody's sick. Everybody's joints are hurting. You know, I mean, you listen to all the problems that trappers have. It is insane. And it comes from the diet, guys. That's what it is. It's not genetic and all that other horse crap everything now is a disease, and genetic or hereditary. Everything. You stub your toe, it's a genetic disease called a stumpy toe disease or something. You know, you got dry eye. Dry eye is now a disease and different things like that. Now, what's going on with my corneas? That does seem to be, and I guarantee it's from bad nutrition all these years, that something has screwed up my corneas, and we're trying to straighten it out with nutrition. We're going to see how that goes. But I want you to think about that. And to kind of finish this off, when you watch what Weight Watchers does, or one of these other groups, you see, it's always all the way to the insanity side of something, or it's not good enough in America. If you were doing the Atkins diet and you live pretty much just on meat and fat all the time, you'll lose a bunch of weight, and then you'll be craving crap so bad you can't stand it, and then you go off and you gain more weight. And then you've got the low-fat people. You know, low-fat, low-calorie, high exercise. You want to see miserable people? Look at people that do that. Low-fat, low-calorie, a lot of greens and you know, processed foods like in Weight Watchers that's loaded with sugar. And all of a sudden, they're miserable, their weight loss is slow, and it's terrible. Now, see, where did all this come about? There was a doctor by the name of Keynes. Keynes, back in the 1950s, I believe, or 1960s, they noticed that Americans were starting to get heavy. And this was the first time the population started getting heavy. Why are we getting heavy? Now, that's when processed food started coming along in the American diet. Keep in mind, the first grocery store in America was 1945. So the way that we eat today is not normal. So Keynes, along with some other scientists, they went around the world and they studied people, kind of like Weston A. Price did. And they had it in their mind that it had to be saturated fat and calories. That was the key. So they started off this study with a screwed up hypothesis. Instead of being real scientists, as we don't have anymore, because all scientists are, is another business form, they went out and they found people that agreed with them, and they were smaller than Americans. They also found people that didn't agree with them, and they were smaller. Now, here's what scientists do today. They did what most scientists do. What they didn't want to believe, they threw out of the study. So people that were eating a lot of saturated fat, butters, cheese, stuff like that, like you see in France, that are a lot healthier than we are as a whole, they decided that couldn't be right because the fat's bad for you, so we're not going to use that information. And this happened over and over and over again. So he came back, went in front of the government, showed his study, which was flawed and lies to begin with, because he's the one that took out the correct information to get skewed data to meet his hypothesis. So that's when the little triangles started coming up where people were told what the American sad diet was supposed to be. And if you look at it, it's grains on the bottom. And then you got vegetables and a little bit of meat, a little bit of dairy and stuff like that, and a little bit of fat up top. Low fat diet. Now, what they don't talk about when they talk about carbs is the difference between a vegetable and sugar. So then that became popular. And then all of a sudden, the food industry was like, well, if we give people food without fat, they don't like it, so we're going to plug it up with sugar. Like when you buy all the stuff from Weight Watchers and all those different things, look at the sugar content in there. That's why you're not hungry. But that's also why you're not losing weight. So from a flawed study for the last, 60 years, 50 years, we have browbeat Americans into thinking low fat is the right way to go, low calories is the right way to go, and you eat a lot of grain. Now see, just from a practical person's point of view, what do you do with a cow or a pig or anything else, a chicken, that you want to fatten up right before you slaughter it? You start pumping it full of grain. Why? Because grain tends to sugar. You can't get rid of that much sugar, and it starts putting on fat, and you get the marbleization that you want. So basically, the American government and the medical society has put us on a low fat, getting us ready for the slaughterhouse style diet, and they say that it is our fault. It is not Americans' fault. It's not. There's if you eat decent American diet today, you're still going to get fat. you're plugging so much sugar in your body, you have no chance. With the corn syrup and everything else that you have, and you look at the chemical breakup of that, you're automatically, it's going to go, you can't even use corn syrup for energy. It goes straight to fat deposits. Corn syrup is in everything. But it's cheap. Farmers need the corn money. The government has lobbyists, so they put it in everything. It goes straight to your stomach and your butt. That's exactly what it does. And that's a chemical, that is a scientific proven thing over and over again. The other thing is all the screwed up oils that they started giving us. Vegetable oil sounds better than lard, because lard's just fat from a pig. When you look at what that does inside the body, and then all of a sudden, once we went to that, guess what became a major problem in America? Everybody having heart problems, cholesterol problems, heart blockages, heart attacks, all this type stuff. And then on top of that, you've got diabetes going left and right. And most people don't eat near as bad as you think they do when they look at them. It's because they're doing what they were told. Now see, what pisses me off in America is Americans always want to listen to an expert. They want to believe that an expert out there has got their best interest in mind, and most of the time they do not. They're trying to sell something, prove something, or they have an agenda they want to push down your throat. And because they have a degree that they paid for, that doesn't mean they know a damn thing, is going to be the experts, and that's what people listen to. See, back in the day, when you think about your great-great-granddaddy, go look at some pictures of him. He didn't look like we did. He didn't eat like we did either. He ate animal fats and animal products and vegetables out of his garden. And they made real sourdough bread, not the stuff that's made with vinegar that you get at the store. Yeah, they had gravy and everything else when they were eating, especially down here in the South. They were not fat. But the processed food thing that we've all been, and processes into the pizza dough you're eating and everything else, and it's just swamped America. Now, with trappers like that guy on the YouTube comment, us talking about diet. Well, I tell you what, I would much rather talk about this sometimes than I would how to catch a freaking coyote if and only if some of you will start doing your own research when it comes to your food. And if you're having joint problems and you're gaining too much weight and you're on insulin and you're having heart problems and everything else, quit listening to the doctor, because the crap they're putting in your body in the form of pharmaceuticals is never intended to cure your problem. Never. Neither is it going to help you lose weight. And if you try to go down the starvation way, where you're low fat, low this, low that, you are absolutely miserable, because your body was made to eat fat. And it was made to eat vegetables. And it was made to eat nuts and seeds, as long as you know how to take care of those. And that's what we were talking about on the survival thing yesterday. It's up to you guys. I mean, if you want to have somebody to look to, 44 pounds. Now, where is that going to level off for me? I have no idea. I'll be honest with you. I've been 260 pounds when I was a junior in high school kicking butt on the football field. I don't think I really want to get below that. But if I do, just because of eating real food, imagine that. Now it's trendy because you eat organic. That used to just be called food. Now it's trendy with all these different type of sweeteners and all this, trying to cut the calories. If you eat real food, guess what? You don't eat as much. I have no idea what my calorie count is. I have no idea. I guarantee it's more than someone on a diet is. But I'm not hungry. I feel good. My brain is clear. All of this because I'm eating real food. And that is almost like it is a revolutionary style way of thinking of food. You know, and it's the way I look at it is pretty simple. If I can't kill it, I can't forage for it, or I'm not willing to grow it in my garden, I'm going to eat very, very little of it. Now, see, you can call that primal, you can call that paleo, you can call that Weston A. Price, you can call that whatever it is you want. But it's just eating real food. Just eating real food, 44 pounds and a little less than 2 months. And if you think that it is not an important topic, you're either not at my age yet, or you're so young that you think nothing will ever happen to you or anything else. And if you want to scare yourself to death, go online and start plugging in stuff like how many Americans are having heart attacks a year, how many Americans have blocked arteries, how many Americans, now that kids are actually starting to have diabetes before they get in grade school, how many people in America have diabetes? Elevated pulse, Crohn's disease, IBS, all that type stuff with the stomach issues, that's from the processed food. There's all kind of stuff to prove it, but your government is never going to tell you that, because the people that they get on their knees for a check is the ones that's lobbying them to tell you whatever they want to do. You know, I'm not even going to go into the chemicals and all that other stuff, but it is phenomenal to me how just Americans as a whole have lost, apparently just lost, the ability to think for theirself. And that's all I'm asking you to do. If you've got a kid that's with Alzheimer's, do you know there's a cure for that? You ain't going to get it from your doctor. What if he's got stomach problems? What if he's loaded up with all these different type of asthmas and he's sick all the time, or she's sick all the time? You know, and they're weak, and all that. It's diet, people. I don't know why you think if I'm looking at my Jeep outside my window, it's made for 87 octane fuel. Your body was made with a certain type of fuel to go in it. And it's just real food. Just the way God made it. Nothing special, nothing crazy, just real food. Now, why do I think that I can do what I've done all these years, eating all the ice cream, pizzas, hamburgers, gorging myself, you know, every chance that I got on all this crap, that it's not going to bother me? But we all know, if I go out to my Jeep and pour vegetable oil in the tank, or water, or diesel, or Coleman fuel, or whatever, pee in the tank, it doesn't matter, that it's not going to run right. But we think somehow that we're so special as a people or a species that we can absolutely do that to our own self. It's one of these subjects that if you ever start going down the rabbit hole of what the food system in America really is, it's crazy. Because when people when people ask me about diet and they can see that I've lost all this weight, and you tell them I'm just eating real food, oh, I couldn't do that. Hell no, I ain't gonna do that. What do you mean I can't have my pies and my ice cream and my hot dogs and hamburgers five times a week at McDonald's and Hardee's and the biscuits and gravy and everything? And everything they're saying is processed. They can't conceive. So it's weird that a person like me has lost all this weight. It must be genetic. It must be your body makeup. It must be. No. It's what God intended for human beings to eat. Living off produce and lettuces and kales and everything like that, well, unless you've got a second stomach that's a fermentation vat, it ain't doing you much good. There ain't a whole lot there. And so what I want you to look in the mirror, and I want you to look at your kids in the mirror and people going down the street in the mirror, and I want you to start really thinking about an image that I'm getting ready to give you. When you see overweight people in America, and I'm gonna put this in a lot stronger term so you can understand it. Back in the old days, I'm talking like medieval times, you know, the kings, the queens, all they were fat because they actually had food. The peasants were skinny because they didn't have any. Now, when you look at wealthy, it's completely opposite. They're thinner, they're in better shape, and the poor people that eat all the crap, they're fatter. So poor people in America are the fattest people in the world because they think it's cheaper to go eat that stuff. But when you see fat people in America, you need to understand what you're looking at. You're looking at a specimen of a person who is literally starving to death of nutrition, and they try to make up with it with volume of chemicals and fat substitutes and all this stuff that's put into all this processed food, and they eat it and they're not satisfied, and they eat it and they're not satisfied, and they eat it. And a good example, Cheetos. I love Cheetos. Love them. I can eat a bag of them. and not think twice about it watching TV. Now, you put a block of cheese in front of me and tell me the same volume of that to a block of cheese. Now, one of them is nutrient dense and one of them is not. My body thinks when I'm eating Cheetos that I'm eating cheese. That's why they flavor it with cheese. I can eat the whole bag. You eat a whole block of butter, you're going to be, a whole big old thing of cheese, you're going to be miserable. But see, your body thinks it wants the cheese because it's a real food and you can't get it. So you keep eating it and eating it and eating it. Your body gets nutritionally worse, but you get fatter and you get fatter and you get fatter. And the fatter you get, the sicker you get, because almost every single disease, and I'm not talking about car wrecks and stuff like that, you'll have a hard time coming up with any disease that people have that is not from the food that we eat today. Because it is proven from Weston A. Price, when people eat real food, in all these cultures before the Western world got into every single corner of it, and they still ate traditional diet, they didn't know what a cavity was. They didn't know what arthritis was. They didn't know what cancer was. They didn't know what asthma was. They didn't know what heart attacks were. They didn't know what any of that was. Why? Because they didn't have it. So where in the evolutionary track are we as humans when it comes to this? That's my question to you. And the other question is, if you know you're overweight and you know you've got all these health problems, no, it is not going to be easy to eat real food again, because we've been trained our whole life through cultural stuff and expert stuff and everything else that you eat a certain way, and if you don't, you're going to be shunned. Well, I tell you what, the way that I eat now, if I want dessert, do you know what it is? It's an extra piece of prime rib. I don't think that's a very harsh way of living. Or if I'm eating steak, I'll get some more steak. Or I'll get some more sweet potatoes with jerk seasoning on it or something like that. I'm not hurting myself by the way that I'm eating. Not at all. I don't feel bad about it at all. I don't feel neglected at all. And the last thing that I'm going to say, so to wrap this up, I didn't mean for it to be this long, but you can tell that comment on YouTube and me thinking about all this stuff and seeing the results of me, it's kind of got me in this mood. When I do now, after 2 months of hardly eating any sugar, when I do eat something with sugar in it, I feel like crap. Now, when I eat it all the time, my question is, was I so used to feeling like crap that it didn't register as feeling like crap? I had some carrot cake the other day at a restaurant. It was delicious. Within 30 seconds of me eating that after not eating sugar, I thought I was having blood pressure problems. My pulse was speeding up. I could feel the blood going through. I mean, it was such a shock to my system after 2 months. I felt irritable. I felt tired. I just wanted to go take a nap. You know, then I'm thinking about this because I backed away from it, then took a shot of it. Holy crap, how miserable have I felt my whole life because of what I was putting in my mouth and it didn't even register. Just think about it, guys. Just think about it.